We're going to focus tonight on one pasuk, which is found in Vayakhel, Perek Lamaches, very well-known, famous pasuk, and famous chazal, and we'll attempt to stand what is a rather intriguing and absolutely phenomenal statement on the part of chazal. The pasuk says, upper right-hand corner, Vayakhel Lamaches, in the context of the Klei HaMishkan being constructed under the auspices of Bezalel. We have a lengthy list. Vayas. So among the items here in Pasuk Ches, Vayas, Esak, Yeron, Choshes. I think they're generally translated. I'm not into English translations. The labor. I haven't seen this probably in several decades. I assume Kiyo refers to, instead of using the term sink, which doesn't have such a great connotation, so the term labor, L-A-V-E-R. The ace kanon the choshes, and again the base of this kior, which is made of copper. Bimaros satsovos. Impossible two words to translate. Just little translation. The word mar'ah in modern Hebrew refers to a mirror. Bimaros satsovos. Some sort of a mirror. What's the language of tsovos? So we know what the term refers to. The word shoresh seems to be tzadik beis aleph, which refers to army, refers to someone who's a chayal, but clearly that's not the intention over here. So we don't exactly know how to translate this term. A very striking, incredibly unique, distinctive term. B'maros ha-tzobos, asher tzobu, pesach olmoy. I begin with that, but now if you have a chumash, I'll just do a little bit of surveying. These two parashas speak a lot about nedavos, contributions that were given by Klal Yisrael. If you look at the very beginning of the parasha, the Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Hey, or in the pagination here, 2:22. The language of the pasuk is Pichu Meitchem Truma Hashem Kol Nediv Libo Yivieha Es Truma Hashem Zohar Vachesed Nefoshes. Of course, this refers back to Pesukim that are found in the beginning of Parshas Truma. There, the Torah indicated. So this is a reference to that pasuk at the beginning of Truma. As you know, Vayakhel Pekudei is essentially more or less parallels the psukim that are found in Truma and Tetzaveh. Truma, of course, being the Klei HaMishkan, Tetzaveh being Bigdei Kehuna. And here we have Vayakhel Pekudei, first the construction, and then the positioning of all this kelim in Parshas Pekudei. So the lashon of the pasuk here, Kol Nedid Libo Yivieha Es Trumas Hashem Zohar V'Chesed V'Nechoshes. This is the underlying spirit of the Mishkan that has to be done B'Nidvas Aleh. There are two expressions here that are used in the Torah. One is Nidvas Aleh, one is the Siyas Aleh. We should have a field day trying to discriminate between these two expressions, which I'm not going to focus on now. But what I'm interested in is in looking at Perek Lamed Vav now, Pasuk Hey, which is found on page 224 of this pagination, there you see in Pasuk Beis, Vayikra Moshe El Bezalel, V'El Elio, the two architects, V'El Kol Ish Chacham Lev, Asher Nasan Hashem Chachmah Libo, Kol Asher Nisao Libo, everyone whose heart was literally elevated, L'Karvol HaMalcha La'asov So. And now they gather all the different Nedavos, that's the Pasuk Gimel, Hey Meviu Elav Nedava, Baboke Baboke. And the Torah goes on to say in Pasuk Kei, Baruch Hashem, there was a rather overflow of nidavos. Marbim ha'am lahavi. Midei ha'avodah b'amlocha she'atzibu Hashem la'asos osa. Different Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Vav, Moshe had an issue with directive. Al v'ish v'isho, al yasu ol melocha l'sumas ha'kodesh, v'yikolei ha'am yavi. That literally put a stop. It was almost mayim shem himself. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu indicated through this tibui by Yikalei on the Abin. So clearly, all of Yisrael was shukrin regarding the binyan Mishkan. However, what is incredibly striking, and look back down Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Chabez, the role of women in the binyan Mishkan. Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Chabez. Again, another pasuk that my father, Alva Shalom, just couldn't get past this pasuk. Chafes. Bayobo ha'anashim al ha'anashim. Anyone who's even faintly familiar with the Hebrew language knows that this expression is absolutely bewildering, flummoxing, beyond any kind of simple translation. The simple translation, I won't translate it for you. You can more or less figure that out. Vayavo ha'anashim al ha'anashim. And Rishonim have a field day. This will be the end of the pasuk. Called the divrei, hebiu chachva nezem, v'tavas u'chumos. These are all, they represent, as Rashi comments already, and Chazal, and Mefoshim, they represent different types of items that are generally associated with intimate, private areas of a person's body. So Chazal comment over here on this rather bizarre expression. By the Boha Anashim Al Anashim, says Rashi, Al Anashim, that's why you have a Chumash in front of you. Im Anashim, Usmuchim Aleim. Famous Rashi, that the men essentially joined the women. Usmuchim Aleim. The word Al, which is has several translations in Tanakh, when that terminology is used, but here Rashi understands it to mean im, but this is not used indiscriminately. On the contrary, the Ibn Ezra on the spot translates this pasuk when the Torah says "Vayavo ha'anashim al ha'anashim." He writes "Achar ha'anashim," and since the word "al" means they followed upon the heels of the women folk, the women were the one they led the way. I say this always half jokingly and half not. If you ever want to get something done in a shul, with the exception of some of the present company that we have in front of me, they are extraordinary males here. The Gabbai, a few others, always turn to women. They'll get done. I had that in my 50 years in the rabbinate that I've seen. And give you many examples, very specific ones. I won't do it right now. But women are the ones who generally, when they become involved in something, they go all the way to the end. And the male folk tend not to, I said, with the exception of present company. But Al HaNashim, the way the Ibn Ezra translates, Achar HaNashim. The Ramban, also on this panel, you don't have it in front of you. I'll just say over the Ramban. The Ramban explains because Tashitim, ornaments, are generally associated more with women than men. And therefore, because the Tashit are associated with women, that's why it says Al HaNashim. Namely, they were the individuals who more or less were the directing of the traffic, and the men nitzvulu lahem. That's Lashon Ramban, if I'm not mistaken. The men were tofel, were secondary to the women in this respect. So it comes out that the ones who really were the prime movers regarding the Dos and the Mishkan were the women folk, and the men simply followed upon the heels of the women. And Mustafa, that's what Rashi means. What Rashi says over here, im anoshim usmuchim aleihem. So what does Rashi mean, usmuchim aleihem? Perhaps it means not necessarily smichut makom, but smichut zman. It refers to just in terms of time that the women began, and they're the ones who are, as I said, initiated this entire venture, and the men followed upon the heels of the women folk. The Ibn Ezra has another explanation of the language of Yavo HaNashim Al HaNashim. Says the Ibn Ezra, Al Das Nashim. And the Ibn Ezra goes on to say, Vahatam Kirtzonam. Well, basically, the men brought the tachshit of their wives, but of course with their wives, consent. It was done with consensuality of the women. And they're the ones, the men, who brought these tashitim. By the way, the Svarno also I saw has a similar kind of explanation. Vayavoha Anashim ala Anashim. But he has the opposite. He says that women were the ones who took the yozma, they're the ones who took the initiative. And the Gvarim, his schema, their askava, their imprimatur also came along as well. He writes his lashon is im Anashim. So the Sfarno understands this possibly. But the language of Ha'anashim Al Anashim, I've always been thunderstruck by it my entire life. My father, Zatzal, noted it when I was a little kid. Mamish, maybe 6, 7 years old. We used to learn Shaimik about talking together at that age. That is, I was not exactly someone who was in agreement with that approach, but we had no choice. It's called Kevinos Hashem Reisani. Anyway, so that's why we started already at a very young age. And that the Swarno sees the Gemara Baba Kama, Gemara has in Baba Kama, Kufi Tes, also brought up Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. This is a subject for a discussion in Halacha today, namely, Eim Mekablim and Anoshim and Ladover Gua. Let's say a woman wants to get stalker, so assuming that she's not the individual who is the working person in the family, but it's her husband. So then from her, you can only accept the davar mu'at, the Gemara says, Nechshash Shem Asa Zod Shalom Midas Baleim. Perhaps they did it without the consent of the husband. I'm not talking Halacha L'maaseh today, because as I said, depending on the situation, there's some women who earn far more than their male counterparts, and I'm familiar with a lot of them. Whatever the case is, perhaps one could actually indicate that, as I said, it's clear that the primary thrust, the primary movers for the nidvas of the Beis HaMikdash of the Mishkan were obviously the females, and the men simply joined. Okay, so now we're going back to that original pasuk that we started with, like the sheep, namely, Vayas, again, upper right-hand corner, Esakir Nechoshes, Yes Kano Nechoshes, Bimaros Hatzobos, Asher Tzobu, Pesach, Olamoy. As I said, this entire pasuk really is bewildering beyond belief. So, one could, number one, initially, let's refer to the Ibn Ezra. You have the Ibn Ezra actually over here on the sheet. Let's read it inside, on the left-hand side. The Maris HaTzobos says the Ibn Ezra the following. Let me read the entire Ibn Ezra, but in the middle of the Ibn Ezra, it's approximately, in the underlined section, the fifth, or the fourth line in the underlined section, Minei, says the Ibn Ezra, Hoyu b'Yisrael noshim shesaru mitavos zeh ha'olam, v'nosnu marosein v'nedavo. You want to see what I'm reading? There were women in Klal Yisrael who were, how should we call them? Tzidkaniyot. Very righteous. And they were individuals who were not, their lives were not focused on materialism. And therefore they gave all their mirrors and the like. Tashitim and Adava. Ki ein lehem od tzarech lehityapot. They had no need to adorn themselves. Rakbod yom el yom elo loy lehispala. Wow. We have such women today. I don't know if any of you are aware of these women. I know a fair number of them as well. They come to daven on a daily basis. You know, sometimes people ask me, what are these women doing here? So I always refer to this. Ibn Ezra, they're learning Ibn Ezra, so they're not familiar with it. But Ibn Ezra has such a concept, and he mentions it over here very clearly. Now, is this something which is ideal? Namely, is that what, shall we say, this kind of, how shall I put it, since the Dabjem is learning knows it? This kind of Nazarite ideal, I guess that's how I might term it. Is that ideal? I don't think so. I don't think necessarily. The big topic is it Luach HaMikra? Is that what Chazal had in mind? Is that what the Tanakh has in mind? Certainly it doesn't fit necessarily with some Chachamim. On the contrary, Chazal very strongly feel that women should, Gemara says that he has to understand these Gemara, it's all over Shas. In the Bavis and the Tainis and everywhere. Ein Isham L'Yefim, Ein Isham L'Bonim. Many, many names in Chazal. Doesn't mean that's our exclusive, shall we say, purpose in life, Chas V'Shalom. But rather, this is one of the aspects that certainly describe the female gender, namely, that they have a sense of beauty about themselves and they know how to be attracted to their husbands, etc., etc. Gemara Chans Kansi says, a woman should not be Mizgan al Baila, many, many times in Shas all over the place. Anyway, this is a Yisod Gadol. But so these women are really clearly an exception to the norm. They're not the norm. Besides the Pshat of the Ibn Ezra, by the way, you'll take a look in the Targum. Targum Yosef of the Zeal and Targum Ongolos. How do they translate the term Maros Hatzobos or Ashetzobu? Ongolos and Targum Yosef of the Zeal translate the Lashon Litzalah. Litzalah means to daven, to pray, almost in sync with Ibn Ezra that we just read. They came to daven in the old way, these individuals. So this is a very, really very fascinating explanation of Rishonim and Ibn Ezra and Targum Yosef. Just one moment, if you don't mind. So I just want to comment on Rashi, because that's really what I want to talk about. It's a famous Rashi. So Rashi comments will be on the right-hand side. V'nos Yisrael hoy b'yodon maros. That Klal Yisrael, the daughters of Klal Yisrael had mirrors, sheros, bahem, shem, miskashos. They use it for the purposes of adornment. And says Rashi, v'yaf osan lo ikvu milahavim l'nivas ha-mishkan. They also brought these mirrors that they use for their own self-adornment, self-purification. They brought them to the Mishkan as an adabah. Vayamois bahem Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu spurned and essentially categorically rejected, showed some sort of disdain for this contribution. What's the function of that mirror? Its function is essentially for their own self-beautification. What did Hashem tell him to do? This you should accept. Why? So Rashi goes on to say, they should accept it. Ki elu chavimun alai menako. Hashem said, these items are more chavim to me, dearer to me than everything else that was contributed. Shalideim ve'emidu hanoshim tzvaod rabot b'mitzrayim. As a result of this, look what happened. And Rashi goes on to explain, show you balei migeim b'avodas perech. This Rashi is so stunning, and the Rashi is so striking, and so fundamental in terms of the hashkafa that Rashi is presenting. An amazing Rashi. Rashi said that their husbands in Egypt were literally, really, were totally under the thumb of the Egyptian taskmasters. And as a result, they were obviously almost to the point of Rahman al-Litzan, a point of no return, Babaras Perech. So what did they do? These women, they brought their husbands food and drink. They gave them to eat and drink. And they took these mirrors. Each one is sort of literally, almost the Yiddish term is to faputz. They're all faputz in front of their husbands. That's the Gemara Kedushin. The Gemara says that why is it that the Torah speaks of kavod avicha v'imecha? First avicha, when it comes to kavod, and when it comes to mora, ishima v'yamatiro, go yadra v'temisham avayayilam. And that expression I heard of Soloveitchik said 3 hours Shia. Why the Gemara uses that language? The Gemara said it's well known. It's built into the very fabric of the Bria. Shapem the Chabi Nesimo Yesim Yavit. Why? Neshem Shadal the Bird. Kach Lashon Chazal. Or the Rabban and Chumash and the Yom Targum. Vichi Yifateish. Vichi Yishadel. Rabban on the spot. So the term Shigul means to use all kinds of, how shall we say, feminine tactics. However you want to translate the Shadel. It means the Fatos. It means to entice. It means essentially to utilize feminine charm and the like. So that's what Rashi says. Each one with their husband, mishadal de bizvarim, basically they were machazik their husbands. They gave the husband tremendous chizuk. Lo ma'ani noem imcha, whatever that means. I can't discuss that right now. I have what to say on this entire Rashi. Umitoch kach mevios ba'alim v'dei taiva, v'nizkokos lehem, umisabros v'yod lo shom shenema, ta'asat apuach v'ratich. Rashi said this led to fertility, despite the situation in Egypt, which was horrendous, horrific, in terms of the back-breaking labor they were subjected to. The women came to be mechazik the husbands, and that's Maris HaTzobos. Rashi continues, V'nasei akir mehem, and that's what they made. And of these Maris, they made the kiyar, the labor. Shulosim sholom and ishli ishto. Lashkos mimayim shivatochu l'mishekinu l'vayla. A woman who's a seita, is accused of infidelity. And again, we're using this kiyar for the purpose of making shalom. There's a din of kinu and stira. V'teidol ha-shem ha-maris ma-mishay ne-mar. V'l'choshis ha-tnuva. Shivim kikar. V'yas v'kiyar v'kano l'husku v'sham l'manata. Shaloya l'choshis shalkiyar v'l'choshis ha-tnuva. And that's what Uncle is. He quotes what I just mentioned, namely relating to the issue of tefillah. So this Rashi is, as I said, an absolutely stunning Rashi. Here, Klal Yisrael, the Benos Yisrael, they adorn themselves in order to basically strengthen the husband's mental. I'm referring to both METTLE and METAL, depending on what kind of metal you're into. But anyway, whatever the case is, I speak English rather coherently. Anyway, so that's what they did. And the idea was that in order that Klal Yisrael should engage in Puruvim. So it comes out that these maros, even though Moshe Rabbeinu found it to be somewhat difficult to stomach these maros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, on the contrary, these maros that were used for this purpose take on a certain kind of kedusha, and these women who were initiating this are essentially shukri v'avodas Hashem in the binyan HaMishkan, and this is part of Kalisha Chachmaslei V'yodeyoto.
What's the
tension of service? Service, the way the Targum translates. Asher Tzavu, Asher Yisbalu. I mentioned Ibn Ezra before you arrived. Ibn Ezra speaks about women who were at Tzidkanios, who used to come to Davin on a daily basis, and more or less were not necessarily classic women in the sense that any Shad L'Yefi, I quote all the Gemaras and the Bumas and Tainis, and they were not necessarily of that ilk, but rather they became individuals who were very ruchani, very spiritual in nature, and came to daven on an ongoing basis, on a daily basis. As I mentioned otherwise, that there are women who do this on an ongoing basis, not a lot, but a fair number of them, daven even daily. So people ask me, what's this? I said, it's an Ibn Ezra. What can we do? Anyway, so the...
How is Sabu and Sabu, how are they related?
They are, lichora, not at all related. You are 100% correct. The doctor, Shlita, is 100% correct. Pillay point. How Tzobu became Tzobu. The Beis and the Aleph do not undergo, or the Adalamid and the Beis do not undergo metathesis. It's not one of the Eises Mishalfos that we're familiar with. Okay, this is Yesh Mezeh Makom Ladun, but that's how the Targum translates, as you saw a moment ago. I want to refer now to a Ramban. There's a long Kleyoka here. You can actually read it if you want to. My fellow Shom was very into Kleyoka, one of his favorite Svarim. Now you read the entire Kleyoka on the Torah. But the Kleyoka wrote other Svarim. And of course, we had to read them. We bought them. I went to the entire Sefer. And I have a lot of it in my head because I heard this when I was before my Bar Mitzvah. Kleyokar, Eilas Sefrayim, these Svarim were like literally bakishali in my pocket. My father loved these Svarim. He was very into Drush. And the Kleyokar here also has more or less this discussion. He brings two reasons. I actually circled it. You know where it says the Kleyokar? It's not what I had in mind to discuss. But Tam Echon, Vishim and Akio, Yimashkin Asotos, this we saw already in the language of Rashi. Al Keno Yanoshim Besayim Asiya Sakir, Lodia. What were they making a statement? Kehem Beches Kaskashus. They wanted to use this as a kind of barometer, a litmus test of where they're holding. They're not to be accused, chas v'shalom, of infidelity, of any kind of unfaithfulness. On the contrary, they are blocked, they're straight, and they're tznuos. That's number one. Second, the Ibn Ezra, the Kleyoka suggests, atam ha-sheni, about 5 lines at the bottom, shamarasim kemayim shapir, hamarim ponim l'ponim. That's the pasuk. Based on some of the pasuk's pasuk. The Mishle, kemayim ha-ponim l'ponim, kenem sha'odim l'odim. Famous thesis. And Ken Amaros, Marim Ponim Leponim, Kemosha Amaros, just like the in the case of Nesota, tell her, is she faithful, not faithful, me Fastora or Kura, Kach Meakior, the Farsim Zinsa, Lozinsa, and Miksher Masel. Maybe they can play okay. Fits with the whole scheme of things. But then he goes on, and he's bothered by your Kasha, Dr. Kalashlita, and the Yoka says, he's how he answers the Kasha, but it doesn't help us with the Targum. The other target, but he says, that is very good. We, as a result of their behavior, we now have Hashem. They saw Boru. What was that? Yeah, exactly as Rashi said. But the target is not that way. Targum translates, and that's the question that was posed, a very legitimate question, a very difficult question to answer. But he goes on to say, because they want to consume that who the like Rashi quotes in the beginning in Bereshis. May Abimelech Nisabro saw. Similar kind of accusation that could easily be hurled at them. So this is what the Torah comes to tell us with the Kiyar Bekano. Al King Rol the Galos Sikosim. Yibavushe Emil Yisroel's Rabos. Hutzavu the Galos Tarosim. It means the Maros testified to the fact that they were the ones with their husbands, with their faithfulness and their fidelity to their husbands. They were responsible for producing Maros. Sobos, legions of Klal Yisrael, and that way he ends at the end. Kilo Amru, Habituru, the way the pasuk said by Stoker, Abimoe, Uvchanuni Nabazos, the Navi says, that didn't show off in your day, it was Stoker. You're allowed to test Hashem when it comes to Stoker. Here, you can test me, the women of Klal Yisrael said, test us whether we're faithful or not faithful. That's what he's paraphrasing those pasuk. Uvchanuni Nabazos, in Mamad Losam Tzvos, Betara Olo, so the Ramban, if you look down the left-hand side, Ramban has a problem, which is not a small problem, that it's a massive problem. We'll be sharing this discussion. That when the Kalim were made, there was no El Moed yet. The Mishkan was Hukam, Yerbechav and Nisan. Harish Chedesh Nisan. And the Noshim brought these Maros, but the Mishkan saw Pesach El Moed. As they affect the Ramban, as they affect the Ben Bechai, as they affect the Al Mishnah. What does it mean? Hashem Sovu Pesach Oel Moed. There was no Oel Moed. It was not yet erected. So some say it doesn't mean the Oel Moed in the sense of Mishkan, but rather the Oel of Moshe Rabbeinu. They came to ask him the Dvar Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu also, take a look at the Ramban, look at the Rishonim.
Maybe the chotzer was. This was Pesach. This was the chotzer. That means something.
It says Pesach Oil Moy.
Which means outside.
Okay. You can.
That's what it was.
All kinds of suggestions can be made. I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with either of the suggestions. But I just want to essentially now take this, and now we're going to go ahead and compare this to another parasha in Chumash. This is what I'm about to say. I heard from my Rebbe, Moron HaRav Zatzal, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, maybe 55 years ago. And it is embedded in my psyche, Shein Kamon. He took this parasha. He actually spoke on the other parasha, the one on the bottom of the page, Bidui Maisa, Akasha, the old Rishonim Yeskin, the Mishnah there, famous Kasha. You know, there are two parshas in Chumash. One is the parsha of, becomes the Bikurim, the parsha Kisavu, the two mitzvahs by Bikurim. One is to bring Bikurim, and one is Kriyasa Pasha. And then there's another parsha called Bidui Maisa, Mishnayis in Maisas. So the Mishnayis call this Bidui Maisa. And of course, you take a look at it, the Gemara says in Saita, this does not at all smack of Bidui. If anything, it smacks of someone who is basking in his self-refulgence. Someone essentially patting himself on the back. The Gemara calls it Shevach. Look at the Lashon. Kisachadeh v'aser, I'm not the bottom of the page. It's called Ma'aseh Tevuaslo v'ashonah shlishin shnasa ma'aser. Means the third year and the sixth year. You make the following statement, the following pronouncement. Yavadah v'ashem elokecha. This is another tumult where this takes place. V'esabigdosh, outside of V'esabigdosh, v'ashem elokecha generally is in Migdosh. And what do you say? I'm a good boy. I carried out all my responsibilities. I gave my servishon to the Levi. I gave my seroni to those that are in need. By the way, on this v'loshachachti, probably the most famous Rashi in Chumash, they're all famous. Rashi says, lo shachachti mi levarechecha. I didn't forget to make a bracha. A bracha d'araisa. Oh boy. Mashem Rasul Marashi Azeh, poor Rashi. Except Rashi says it twice. Once here and once in Brochus. Twice in Kol HaShas, once in Chumash and once in Shas. So they ask Rashi, what is Brochus? The only Brochus that I said is Brochus HaMos. There is Brochus HaTorah according to Ramban. Shach Zay has long shtickle Torah on this. It's a discussion of Shulamach. Shabuah discussed it by some of the Isa, some of Brochus HaTorah. But Rashi says, Shachachi B'Recha, Allah Fresh is Brochus HaMos. That's the brother of Isaac. Okay, I'm not discussing it otherwise. Trust me. On this, Harbet Yom Nishpach, Harbet Pumusim Nishtam. Okay, Kitzer, La'achal Divoni Mimenu, that's also a famous halacha, that someone who's an onen is not allowed to eat, is also the kachim. Lo biyati menu betomim, lo sati menu lemez, but basically what you're doing, you're giving yourself a pat in the back. Shomadu b'kal Hashem elokoyim, osis b'al Hashem tibisoni, I did my part, Hashem, now it's your turn. Quid pro quo. Hashkifa, mimon kachra ben Hashamayim, so the Gemara inside the Gemara in Daf on the days, and also, as I said, this is called the Pasha of Yidu Maisa. The Mishnah, beginning of El Ne'amorim, it's a famous Mishnah. The Mishnah says, El Ne'amorim b'chol Hashem. You know, in terms of, I mentioned once that when I grew up in the shul that I dominated in, I mentioned about the week and a half ago, I said, I asked for I'm going to Rabbi Brown's people and stuff. So when I grew up and he davened in that shul, he was a bacher, and I was there as well. So many of the, how should we call them, parishioners, those who davened in the shul were not Shemir Torah mitzvahs. They couldn't even read many of them. They used to come Shabbos morning, and unfortunately many of them then after that went to work. And they had no Hebrew background, so they had a translator and a sitter. Rabbi Weiss, you probably remember. Correct. It was transliterated. A whole sinner that was transliterated so they could read the Lashon HaKodesh in English. That's how they said Kaddish. You know, Y-I-S-G-H. What was that? Correct. He was publishing. Wow. I don't mean to Chas V'Shalom. He's a young man, Rabbi Weiss. Anyway, but the kids are, so the Parshat Saita mentions among the items like in December, Haloshim, Kriyashma, Bidu Maisa is among the items mentioned in the Mishnah there in Saita. The Mishnah, I think, Alam Tes. That's where it begins, that parak. So anyway, so it mentions there Bidu Maisa. And in Maisa Sheni, in Parakei, Maisa Sheni, it also says, God, the Lord said, B'mincha, B'yam Tavachron, O Yimisvadim. Ketzon, O Yimisvadim. So all Rishayim asked the Kasha, wow, they are beside themselves. Vidui! Does haste Vidui? This is called Vidui. Everyone knows what Vidui is. Vidui is to clap in Al-Khet. That's what Vidui is. So I've said this already a number of times in this shul. I said it many times over the years, many, many times. Namely, that Tvei Dinim is Vidui. And our Soloveitchik used to bring this out by pointing out that when he was in Poland, he grew up in Poland, in Chaslovitz, so they said, Vidui Mitzcheren, with tears, and they would clap Al-Khet. He comes to Berlin, they're saying Vidui like a marching song, out of Bad Bismarck, and his those that he bequeathed his hegemony to. So they said it as a marching song in a very triumphant kind of way. Only Germans could possibly have such an approach. So the Rav was astounded. He said, Maze, ma tivo shel ubar ze? What's the nature of this ubar? And the answer was, of course, in typical Bris fashion, Tzvei Din, dialectic. There are two elements embedded in Vidui. Element number one, Vidui means that a person claps al chet. He has the ability to recognize his wayward behavior, to be makir, hakoras hachet. That's exactly what the Rambam defines Vidui. The Rambam has the mitzvah in Tshuva, the mitzvah is Vidui. And it consists of number one, hakoras hachet, bakosh sakapara, ono, and then, of course, charata, and kabbalah asin. More or less in Perek Aleph, halacha Aleph. That's what the Rambam has. There's a stira. See, not the Rambam in Perek Beis. I'm not interested in the stira right now. That also, as you said, about 15 shurim, at least over 15 years. And all we should have talked about that theory as well. And then here has also a Yishuv the theory and Shabbat Tshuva, which I learned in Chiddush Elul. But anyway, so Vidui, aspect number one of Vidui is the ability to acknowledge that I have fallen. The word chet means lachtia tamata. In Hebrew, that's what you say. You missed the boat. You basically went off the main derech, off the main road. And that's what we say to Hashem Yisbach and Kibbe, Yatzatzarek, Adwa Baalenu, Kiemes Asisa. That's the koach hamufla of contrition, of literally self-condemnation. That's the first part of Bidui. But if that Bidui were to be left with that, we'd be in a sorrowful state. So there's another aspect to Bidui. And that aspect, of course, is the ability of a person to recognize that I can go ahead now and be mitired myself. I have the ability to raise myself and to elevate myself and even to use the denouement of the individual where the Ramban writes in Vayigash as the Yerid Lutzar Haliyah, I can actually use it as a descent. I descended, but now that descent is going to bring me even further up. I'll be able to once again climb, and maybe this will even give me a push to move in a more positive kind of direction. And despite the chet, no matter what the enormity of the chet is, no matter what the situation is, that the person can come back to Hashem Yisbarach, and that's very significant. Both of these Yisraelis are critical. Number one, the ability to be honest, recognize who I am, what I did. And on the other hand, there's no, besides the fact there's no charata without karas achet, midah kisa, that there's no emuna in my ability to once again regenerate myself, retrench, reorganize, reconsolidate, and once again come to the fore, then these two elements. So that's exactly, apparently, what the Torah is describing here as vidui maiser. Vidui Shevach. Where's the Shevach element? The answer is, and the Rav Soloveitchik used to use the expression in Shashir, that's the best expression. Tzvei Dinim. What do you see, Tzvei Dinim? Shcherva Ani, Benova Benos Yerushalayim. Tzvei Dinim. Remember, he used this in so many different ways, and if you learn the kinos of Tisha B'Av, so you see the kinos are divided into two. Zachra Yerushalayim. Yemei Onya Umrudeha. That's one part. But then, call Machmudah, Shahi, let me get it. Tzvei Dinim. And he analyzed the entire Megillah along those lines. I mean, basically, we're talking about two different aspects. He even had the Rav in Shurim, he said, Masech HaSukah, based on the Mishnah Memalach. Masech HaSukah, when Avdechem Mezakim in the Takona, that we take the Lulav and Esau, call Shiva Sayomim. It's only one day in the Torah, the Kafim, the Havayim, the Rishon. Plus, the Smachtim, the Hashem, the Shiva Sayomim, in the Takona, take it all 7 days, take on the Migdash. The Gemara has the end of the third prayer about Basra, also say on the Migdash, we do it under the Chuppah. I'm very makbid. So used to, I saw this myself a number of times. There's a chaver of mine, I was an aide at his Chuppah, the Rav was Mitzad Kedushin, and he had got himself a hairdo, very beautiful hairdo. Must have cost him $100, I'm sure of it. He was very, one of those Don Juan type of people. And so he, Rasul Ezra comes under the chuppah, he's examining his hand from all different sides. I said, I said, what? He's obviously up to something. And then at the right moment, whatever that moment is, I can't discuss that right now. It's a hockey issue. He then asks, where is the Eifer? Where are the ashes? And then they brought him like a little plastic. Matches, bring some matches. They brought matches. They made a shtickle bonfire. He had, shall we say, Eifer Kishir. Kishir Chazadish. And then he went ahead and spread it all over the Israelis. I never had such a hanor like that in my life. Really big hanor. I was pushing. This guy was a Don Juan character. He needed someone to take it down a few notches and took care of it very quickly. Anyway, he was beside himself, the Chosin. $100, Mabishah. Lahem alarik. Anyway, Mikitzer, so Shchei Rani Benavah Benazim Shalayim, that the Rav said in the Shura Matsuka, Tvei Dinam Zechel HaMikdash, Zechel HaMikdash V'Churbano, Zechel HaMikdash V'Tifata, I spoke about this a number of times, and there's a Balamor, and a lot to say about this topic, and what exactly these two are, the consequences. Okay, back here. Shchei Rani Benavah Benazim Shalayim. So the two come together. You know, it's almost as if the Shevach is a Chelek HaLegnayim. The two have to be inextricably intertwined. You can't separate one from the other. So you have to somehow find a way that to be with the Ratzon Hashem. So Rasul Ezra suggested, now going back to this Rashi here, I ask here in the Cheshes, it's kind of the Cheshes. The Maris HaSeves, Rashi calls his beautiful Medrash, stunning Medrash that we just read a moment ago. How could the Nova of the Maros be B'ti'um with the Shreira? The Shreira meaning what it was used for. And the answer is, on the contrary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu Kabel, that you who understand what Klal Yisrael went through in Mitzrayim, in this Golus HaChashucha V'Ayuma, in this terrible darkness that they were in, and the women had the ability to be Menachem, to be Mechazek, the Ruach of their husbands, and to be Mechanech Ador, that now it's Smeyim LeGeula, but now thirsty to be redeemed, that woman will save the Bidur with most and with greater tsar and charota than any other woman, tachas ha-tapuach horartich, that same kayach that was used for that purpose, that seems to be offhand, shayrani, nova. It's really nova, but also shalom. That's how we understood this, the Rashi that I quoted from. Now, let me just perhaps summarize the shtickle. I didn't mean to summarize, I'm just really getting into action. Anyway, so clearly the issue was that where they get these mirrors from? The answer is these mirrors represent a similar vanity, if not indulgence. That's essentially what it's all about. That should become the essence of the kelim used to prepare the kohanim to go ahead and be mekadesh yadayim v'raglayim in order to enter the makom hamikdash, the makom hamishkan. So Moshe had these reservations. They seem to be very logical reservations. Moshe was quite hesitant to accept mirrors as part of the mishkan's very makeup, had to become an integral part of the mishkan. I heard from, I don't know which Kamenetsky is it. I don't remember. Probably Rav Nosson Kamenetsky. He wrote a very famous sefer. Two volumes. Unfortunately, no more than that. He spoke in my shul on something called The Making of the Band. My life was threatened. I had to get security in order to protect myself. But I was very close to him. He was in Yitri. When I learned in Yeshiva, he was the right-hand man of the Yeshiva, Rav Elephant, he was also a goyim. I heard Shurim and him, Alul Bagozel, Chede Shevel. That was the end of that. And he was too busy involved in the financial network of the Yeshiva. Anyway, so I think I probably heard from him. His father, Abel Kamenetsky, when he officially retired from his position as Yeshiva of Besitza Torah Vadas, he moved to Muncie. I actually saw him in Muncie in 1983. I mentioned this a number of times. I went with my wife, Shlita, to see him. I was an hour and a half, probably the most pungent hour and a half I've ever had in my entire life. He was 93, but it was completely shuffled with that. Yiddish, all conversations in Yiddish. I've said a number of things that in the conversation.
1984. 83.
Anyway, but he was still active, even as after he retired. He was active, actually, he was still involved with the Torah Masorah. He even came to conventions. I used to go to conventions only for one reason, because Rav Yaakov was there. I enjoyed his speaking, always in Tanakh. And he discussed he was willing to. I got a meeting with him. My Rebbe, I'm going to Nisim Alves, that's how. Arranging meetings with him, and as I said, in 1983. And I was able to meet with my wife for an hour and a half. I could have stayed there probably even longer, but he was very frail. And he had a Shabbat Achmaros. Usually I don't have Achmaros and Dolly, so at all. Anyway, so one afternoon, he told me the following of Nosy Kamenetsky. There was a young Talmud Chacham came to speak to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and he had some chidushim on Shas they wanted to share with Rav Yaakov. And he sat at the table. He's about to share his, self-concocted discourse. Let's see why I'm saying that in a moment. So, Remington Kamenetsky entered the room with a freshly baked piece of cake for Rav Yaakov and for the guest, for the Oveich. Before Rav Yaakov had a chance to thank the Remington, the young man was obviously steeped in his own thoughts. He flippantly discarded the generous offer. He said, "Oh, that's all right. I already ate. I don't need another shtickel, another piece of cake." Rav Yaakov was shocked. He remained silent in a catatonic state of shock. He didn't say anything. The Rebbetzin returned to the kitchen, and the young man began to speak to Rav Yaakov. "I want to share with Oshiva a shtickel tailor. That I formulated in a sugi devamis, a shver sugi devamis." Rav Yaakov was quiet and responded, "That's all right. I already heard a shtickel tera in that sugya. I don't need another shtickel tera in that sugya." That was his lashon. If I'm not mistaken, that's what Rav Nos Kamenetsky said. So when Rav Yaakov saw that the boy realized that clearly Rav Yaakov was chiding him, was giving him musar on his, reckless indifference to the Rebbetzin. So he went on to explain Rav Yaakov to this young man the following. He said, "You see, that piece of cake was her shtickel Torah." Rav Yaakov said to the young man, "That was something that she prided herself in. She wanted to make you and me feel comfortable. Don't you have any appreciation of that element as well? And your focus is just on the shver sugi nevamos that you want to tell me shtickel Torah about." So Nosy Kamenetsky told me that's connected to this Rashi. Maros HaTzemus. He connected the dots. Rashi said, "Name of the Midrash, Moshe is instructed by Hashem to use the mirrors. They adorn themselves, and yet they brought as a contribution to the Beis Hamikdash, to the Mishkan. Moshe wanted to reject them because it's vanity. What is this all about? Indulgence." Hashem said, "No, Kabil. These are dearer to me than all the other contributions, because through them, Sobos Rabos, were reared, legions of Jews came about and in Mitzrayim. The husbands were tired through the crushing labor. They came to mechazik their husbands with food and drink and induced them to eat. The mirrors were used to endear them to their husbands and awaken the husband's affection. They became the mothers of their very children. Tachas atabuch or atich." So the Baruch Hashem saw the greatness of those mirrors. They enhanced the harmony of the home. They induced the love, appreciation of husbands and wives. So we have the power to transform the most mundane object, even a vain object, into something of immense value. So that shtickel cake corresponded to the shtickel Torah that fellow he was missing somehow. Anyway, this lechora is the essay of this pasha of the Maros HaTzeves and Shetzov Pesach Mayer, and it's also an incredible statement about when Chazal speak about women beso zuvishto. Chazal knew exactly what they're talking about. I married Baruch Hashem half a century. I tell young couples who I'm deciding Kedushin for, when I speak to Chassanim, young Chassanim, they are certain that they basically, they know everything. 22, 23, 24, 25, wow. What a kach, that age to have full knowledge, and some of them even a little bit, because they learned yeshivas, so they see themselves as being clearly the other ones who are going to direct traffic. Lock, stock, and barrel, because they have all the info, and their better halves are simply there to, for marriage, what? Accommodate them. And so I don't know whether I should humor them. I don't humor them. I'm not into human. I'm not a good human man. I'm a good Muslim man. And they receive a fair amount of Musa on this matter. So recently, well, that's why I'll end with this. I see. Recently, I met a couple in Sadiq Dushan 34 years ago. This young couple, they're now grandparents. The husband comes to me. I met him in Sisra. He came to my house, he and his wife. And he said, Ashira, do you remember what you told me on the Chabra? I said, I don't. Trust me, I don't remember. But I thought, you gave me Musa. And I thought pretty hard at myself. It's the 34 years. You know something? You're right on the money. I said, I can't believe this guy was a Talmud of mine. And a character, Shane Kamal, a Balgai many from here to Chinatown, not a Shemini Shem Shemini's. He got the 400%, 400 yards of Gaim. It was a Chetur. And Baruch Hashem, marriage brought him down from his lofty perch. And he came to tell me that. That was beautiful. So this is also part of the recognition of all of us who are Baruch Hashem married, and the Meir Yassim Shana, the Brius and the Amalia, the wonderful legions of children, but recognize the role of women as Mechaskos and the Odidos and Tomchos, and ultimately Bezos Urishta. That's what it's all about. And this is how Chazal somehow saw the Kach of women in the most beautiful way.
This is connected to the first part of the different, the four.
Probably is a connection. I assume there is.
Yeah, I imagine there is.
Yeah. What was also elected
here? Yeah. Okay, got to all of you. Thank you. He's Dr. Stern. I'm trying my best to be.